hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads where bandits are. Catacombs and giant doors protect the chest that stores some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's a grand theft of Elder Scrolls, Simon's Quest with Toe and Earl, rocket shoes to Everclue, Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash a crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, whether that be Apple, the Apple Music, or is it Music? Is it Apple Music? I don't know.
Apple Podcasts, man.
Apple Podcast. It's a whole other thing. So Apple Podcasts, with Google Play, we're over on Spotify. You can also go to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. Head on over to Blue Sky. Control Issues Pod is the handle. And shoot us a line at controlissuespod@gmail.com. AMC, how you living?
Well, A-Dub, we took a week off. What was it? Oh, yeah. It was Super Bowl weekend. Yeah, Super Bowl got in the way, you know, it is Sundays. That's when we record, and, you know, a lot came up on that day just based around when I had to work that pretty much that entire weekend up until Sunday. So that Sunday was my day off, Sunday and Monday. So, it was already a rough weekend for me. And then just scheduling-wise, we wouldn't have been able to squeeze it in outside of – we would have had to record during the Super Bowl, which wasn't going to happen. So
yeah.
We decided to skip last week, which is good because it gave us a little time to collect, focus on family, do the damn thing, and now we're back in this world of video gaming. And so, yeah, I've been watching some shows, hanging out with family over the past 2 weeks. It's been nice. Got some rain in L.A., which I'm never going to complain about. Good. Yeah, it was nice. It was so good and so bad that I got to work from home, which is awesome. And then on top of that, watch some NBA All-Star Weekend. We're in the midst of that right now. Saturday night is the dunk contest and the three-point contest. And so, yeah, for the past couple of years, it's pretty much been a thing where, you know, the dunk contest just hasn't been the same since Michael Jordan and Vince Carter. Yeah, even there was like a string with Dwight Howard and Nate Robinson going head to head that people enjoyed, but it just didn't really compare to, I guess, Vince Carter's like dunk contest that everybody holds up as the greatest dunk contest ever. Mm-hmm. And so they brought in this, usually what happened is a lot of stars stopped doing the dunk contest. So then it became a lot of the young players would do it, and it would be like the non-young player stars. So like basically like it wouldn't be like the first round draft pick that's in the dunk contest. It would be the second round into the draft pick who's trying to get get his name out there. So he'll sign up, do the dunk contest, kind of put in a half-ass effort. So it just put out and just becomes a poor product. So people have been kind of shitting on the dunk contest. But three-point contests have been pretty good just because we have Steph Curry. And it's the thing with the All-Star Weekend is it's a showcase of NBA stars, but nobody's really there showing up to give their best effort. Three-point contest, a little easier just because you just show up and hoop, get your shots up, and then try to win a trophy, maybe some extra cash. The dunk contest, it actually takes some thought, some creativity, some effort. So it just wasn't there. And so the 3 years ago, they opened it up to the G League, which is the NBA Developmental League. And when they opened it up then, this guy, Mac McClung, decided to sign up. And he had been known, I guess, for having like some, you know, he had a good mixtape in high school when he was coming up, just being very flashy. I haven't checked it out, but that's what we heard. And so he was in a dunk contest and he did really well. It was awesome. The social media was like, who is this guy, Mac McClung? Everybody needs to know his name. And then he did it. So he won 3 years ago. Then he won last year. And it is the third year. And so they brought him back. And, it's kind of like, all right, we've seen all the circus dunks that can be done by this guy. What does he have to offer? And he shows up and he just completely killed it to the point where dunk contest was better than the 3-point contest this year. And because he is a G League player, like I believe they were saying, like the rewards that he wins for the dunk contest is like almost as much as his contract to play in the G League. And so
Wow.
there's an incentive there. And then he brings a level of professionalness to it. So he showed like he his first dunk last night, he brings out IKEA. So a la Blake Griffin, when he was young, he did the dunk contest and jumped over IKEA and dunked it. But it didn't come out as well as it had been hyped up. Well, Mac McClung did it, and he fucking legitly jumped. So Blake Griffin kind of jumped over the car, but not really. Like he like got his legs over the hood, but not over the top of the car, like the roof. Mac McClung got over the roof, like did like almost like a jumped and did like a splits in the air, grabbed the ball from the guy who was holding the ball out of the sunroof, and then did a reverse dunk. It was and that was his first dunk of the night. And then
Damn,
he
I
had
wish I
some
could have seen that. Wow.
yeah, it was pretty amazing. And then after that he did some other like freakish dunks. Like had one where the guy was on a hoverboard and it was like, how the hoverboard like you can get to like just spin in circles. Had a dude under the basket just spinning in circles with the ball above his head, jumped over the guy, grabbed the ball, dunked it. That was pretty amazing. And then the last one,
Spinning in circles.
yes, circles.
just like a dude in the spawn point,
Yeah.
Overwatch.
Yeah. Trolling the team. And then the last one he did some like pretty dope dump. I can't remember, but it was great also. Well, he did four actually. But yeah, they were all freakishly amazing, just insane hops, like just also had like a flair, knew when to like kind of hold the pose in the air and then like dunk it. So like just had all the style and had the athleticism to be able to showcase that style. And so it was definitely dope. He said that he would only come back if like they really wanted him to. So I think he's
He's
kind of
coming
running out of
back.
ideas and he doesn't want to become old hat. So like
He's coming back.
yeah, I mean, yeah, he's making that money. I mean, he jumped over IKEA, so he's clearly getting like sponsorship deals to work in product placement into his dunks. So yeah, I mean, he definitely has a financial incentive to keep coming back. And as I said, like the internet's like on it now. My aunt was like texting before the All-Star game, like anybody watching tonight? And everybody's like, nah, why? And the next thing she's posting at the end of the night, like it was amazing. Dunk contest was great. And then my uncle is chiming in, like, yeah, he played for Georgetown, like,
Oh,
all of a sudden, like, people are
everybody's trying to
like,
claim them.
exactly.
I
So yeah,
sat
that
behind him in class.
I sold them 50 bucks so you could get by. So yeah, it was hilarious, but it was great. But yeah, how about yourself, A-Dub? How have these last 2 weeks been for you on a personal level?
On a personal level, nothing too eventful. Just trying to get back in my exercise routine, closing my rings. Catching up on movies, anime and such. I'm really rolling on this anime, Seven Deadly Sins, and just save for one thing, it's pretty much just one of the dopest animes I've ever seen. But that one thing is that it is pervier than any other anime I've ever seen in my life. Like
Like Master Roshi, like pervy, or what kind of pervy?
this, if this was a Western cartoon, it would be under investigation for like a hostile work environment and sexual assault
Oh,
depicted on
wow.
television.
Oh, like one of those like animes,
Yeah,
yeah.
like the main character is just constantly groping the female main character, or one of the female main characters. And it's like since episode one, and then I started on season two, and it's just getting more outrageous. And I'm just like, man, it makes it tough to watch sometimes. But I'm trucking through it because I love the story, I love the character development, and just save for that one little thing that's a little awkward, it's a fantastic show. Let me see, what is his name? I think Felipe Esparza. He has a new special on Netflix, which is pretty funny. I believe I talked about Kevin Hart with the muscle car show that I was enjoying on Max.
Yeah.
Have I Got News For You is back. Roy Wood Jr., Amber Ruffin, Michael Ian Black. So that's a dope little comedy news show that I like to watch. I'm glad they brought it back. Bill Maher's back. John Oliver's coming back tonight. So that's going to be another treat. Finished the first episode of the new season of Invincible. And that show just continues to do what it does. And I'm very happy for that. That's about it. I know I did something else, but I'm not going to sit here and try to rack my brain for it. Just taking care of my plants, cleaning up, having a blast, man. Just taking it one paycheck at a time.
Taking it one paycheck at a time, taking it one game at a time, maybe. How's that game in life been, Ada?
Oh, it's been more than one game at a time, my friend. I did a lot of out of the ordinary stuff with this past like couple of weeks. I don't believe I got to talk about it since I started playing the game, but I've been playing and streaming Citizen Sleeper 2, which is like the dice-driven kind of visual novel game about you being this, you're being like a person who agrees to put their body in stasis and upload their consciousness to what they call a sleeper, which is just a mechanical body, and you basically work off a contract while your body is somewhere just chilling. So you're one of those, but you're getting out the system. You can't take it, so you're busting out of that. It's a dice-driven game. So whenever things occur in the story, like if there's like dialogue, well, there's dialogue options, but then there's also just a lot of skill checks, and you roll six dice per day, and that's all you get for the day. So you get a bunch of low rolls, you're probably not doing shit that day. You get a bunch of high rolls, you're killing it that day. And yeah, man, it builds on Citizen Sleeper in pretty much every way, especially where Citizen Sleeper, you pretty much just went along various points of interest at a single location, or maybe there were a handful of locations. With Citizen Sleeper 2, you have a crew and you have a ship. So you're not only traveling the map and going to different places within this system where, like, you're going across asteroid belts, you're avoiding hazards, and you're straight up traveling, but you also get jobs within the local area of a point of interest. So then you gotta like pack supplies, hire a crew, go out there, and then you gotta work through multiple sections to basically achieve your contract. But there's always some kind of caveat where, oh, we're on an ice asteroid, and if we have too many bad rolls, it'll add up the stress, and then the ice might break apart and we'll fail the contract. Or, we're disabling this drone, and like if we keep making mistakes, then certain systems will activate, and then we got to disable those systems in order for us to keep moving along and finishing. So it gets pretty tense. It was kind of a slow burn for me at the beginning, but then once the first major conflict occurred, and I was on my feet, just like looking at my dice, like, damn, should I risk it? Like, should I do this? Oh, so good. Story is so good. Well written. There's a lot more screen time for the hand-drawn art, which represents the various characters. The presentation has stepped up. It's an improvement on Citizen Sleeper in every way. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. You can watch streams of it on twitch.tv/controlissuespod. But another game I was playing, Gran Turismo 7, I think it's back in my rotation. Like, there was another physics update recently, which sought to correct some of the mistakes they made with the previous physics updates, which prevented me from playing the game to the degree that I normally would or would normally want. And I gotta say, like, it's not quite the way the original game felt, but it's somewhere between that and what they did with the September update. So, I'm getting my confidence back in my cars. Like, I'm picking all the things that I set up for the relative races, and they're winning. It's not terribly close. Like, I can even pick cars that are like right at the performance limit, and I'm winning by gaps, just capital. But yeah, so I'm back. I think I did all the weekly challenges in one night. I was half asleep and just got them done. I was like, damn, if I can do that, then GC7 is back. So it's nice. I'm able to start playing once again, working through the directory, clearing these races, getting my daily workout in, getting my weekly challenges, getting my cars, getting my credits, and just enjoying that real driving simulator. But yeah, I played that. And then what else? The big thing I did, outside of, nah, not that one. No, something else I did that was a little out of the norm is for some reason I got back into Borderlands 3 again. And I was having a good time. And then E Single decided he was gonna get it and we were gonna co-op. So we've been doing that, which is something like the last time I co-oped in Borderlands, I believe, was playing with you in Borderlands 2 back when that came out. But with E Single and Borderlands 3, I'm having the time of my life. Like we both finished the campaign and now we're both in true Vault Hunter mode and we're turning up the mayhem levels, which is a part of Borderlands that I never really engaged with. So with the mayhem levels, it increases your chance of loot and your chance of gold, but it also makes the enemies tougher, gives them shields, gives them more armor, more hit points. And like, I only made it so far when I started playing with that. But then with my brother now, we're really trying to push these levels. Like, we're on Mayhem level 2, don't get me wrong. But as you play on them, you get equipment that is from that level. So it's more powerful than equipment from lower levels or no mayhem at all. So we're gonna try to get on that loot treadmill and push the game and see how much. Like, I've yet to even max out a character in Borderlands 3. So there's a lot of room left. I have three of the four characters in True Vault Hunter mode. I finally started the Beastmaster character. Loving them. Like, I just it's dope just having that animal companion. And then I can also summon other animal companions to do stuff. Like, I have these winged creatures that conjure flames and dive bomb the enemy. So that's been fun. The dog is like occupying enemies. I'm finishing them off. Such a blast. And yeah, so that's all just getting us hyped for the future of the Borderlands franchise, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But the real big thing I did that was kind of off the beaten path is I finally started up Outer Worlds. And I gotta say, AMC, I'm having an absolute blast with this game. It's like, to put it succinctly, or just to put it briefly, I would say it's the direction I wanted Starfield to go in, but it still feels like its own thing. It's different. It feels good to play. It's got great acting, good writing. And yeah, man, it's first person RPG. I like that the zones in the game are like, they're not overly large. They're actually kind of tight. There's a lot of them. It's a lot of overlapping missions. There's some questionable choices you gotta make. Like, it's as much as it's like that super like crazy weird sci-fi that I like, it's still to some extent very much like BioShock in the way that the companies are presented and they have their stranglehold on these systems. People are basically slaves and being extorted for their money at every turn. Like, imagine the era when America had company towns, and that's like a star system. So it's like that. And I'm taking the slant of I'm against the corporations. So whenever there's a chance to screw them over, I'm taking it, unless there's a different outcome that's somewhat beneficial for me. Like, I had a mission where I had to recover some blueprints for an unknown weapon, and the guy fixed it for me, and then he made me a new one, so I got two. It's like, what? And yeah, it's just once you start shooting lasers, plasma, it really comes to life. You're fighting aliens, you're looting people, you got your cosmetics going on. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not the most polished game. It doesn't have the most features or anything. Like, I wouldn't put it up on that level like a lot of people tried to do when it really got cool to hate Bethesda around the 76 era. It was like, oh, Outer Worlds is doing Bethesda better than they do. It's like, Let's not go that far. It's got a lot of good things going for it, but a Bethesda game, it is not. However, what it is as an Obsidian game, I am thoroughly satisfied. Look forward to playing more. Definitely cannot wait for Outer Worlds 2, especially now having my hands on the original game for the first time. So I'm really looking forward to that. I can see where they've made the improvements and changes, and I need it. I need it as soon as possible. But that's enough about me. AMC, what have you been playing?
Been playing a couple games. A dub. I'll lead off with, we'll do that Final Fantasy VII remake. Playing more of that game, enjoying it, loving the gameplay. Gameplay is just so fun to play, but really the characters are what have been my focus as of late. As far as just they're just so appealing. Like Cloud, it's been mainly Cloud, Tifa, and Aerith who I've been running with. Or at least who I've had around. Like Barrett has been off doing something else and some of the other characters. But it's great because, so it starts out, you're Cloud, you're with Barrett, then you get Tifa, and then next thing you know, it's Cloud and Tifa for a little bit, and then it becomes Cloud and Aerith for a little bit, and then it becomes Cloud, Aerith, and Tifa for a bit. And so it was great because you get to see the chemistry between the different characters and mainly Cloud and Tifa at first, and you like they have a history. Tifa's a little more serious of a character, and they play off of each other really well. And then all of a sudden, you bring in Aerith, who's a little flightier, a little more fun, less serious, lighthearted, and you see how that kind of plays off of Cloud and his like seriousness, and kind of like how it does work for them to build their chemistry. And as Tifa then gets brought into it, Tifa's kind of like, oh, so what's going on here? Whereas Aerith isn't like that at all, which is great because Aerith's like kind of job is to, diffuse the tension that's going on. Whereas like, and Tifa's not like jealous; she's kind of just more curious. And then, but like, then you start to see like Tifa and Aerith start to get along, and then they're playing that against Cloud. So that's kind of fun as like you're dealing with all the serious stuff that's going on. Got to the Coliseum. I fought the Haunted Mansion in the Coliseum, which was great. That was a good. This is a dope fight.
You fought a whole mansion?
It was like a haunted house. Like it's just a haunted house. That's a character in the game, like a villain. It's the boss of the Coliseum. As you're making your way through the ranks of the Coliseum, the final boss is a haunted house that he's kept like under his under the Coliseum. He's kept it there, so it's I don't understand how it is living. They don't explain it, but it's just a part of that world. And I'm assuming it wasn't in the original game in some form, because at least I'm assuming, just because I heard that people were dressing up as the characters from Final Fantasy VII at like the Grammys, and I want to say I heard that Jaden Smith dressed up as the Haunted House from Final Fantasy VII, so that's absolutely awesome. But yeah, fought that. It was a dope fight. I had to like figure out how to get around its attacks. Got that back attack going, and eventually took it
Yes.
down. Won the Coliseum. Did the damn thing. Also played Stardew Valley. That one's been fun. Been playing a lot of that with Marissa, but also been playing that with Theo and Naomi. It was great seeing Naomi's progression in that game of just learning how to play video games. And so when she first started, it was her kind of learning how to move the character around. She's kind of learning the environment. And then at some point, we started going to the mines, and then she actually really liked the mines. And I noticed that she'll just, when she wakes up in the morning in Stardew Valley, when like she brings her character in, she'll immediately just make her way to the mines on her own. She knows exactly where to go, where to get the horse, and then where to take the mine cart to get to the mines. And then she'll just go right into it and just start handling business. Like she doesn't know how to switch between items, so I have to select like the her slime club if she wants to kill slimes, or the pickaxe if she wants to do some actual like mineral like resource finding. And she's now preferring taking out the slime, so she'll rush right over to the mines, get that club, and then she'll just, anytime she sees like a slime or a dragonfly or any other type of enemy, a bat, she's like heading right to them, doesn't even care about taking out the rocks to, like, she'll have me clear out the rocks so that she can go and fight with the baddies. So that's fun to, like, just see her engage with the game in that way. And in Toad Treasure Tracker, Theo's been playing the shit out of that. He had a week off. It's like ski week at his school. It's like the type of district we live in, I guess. And so he had a week off of school for ski week, and he started playing Toad. Well, he got back into Toad Treasure Tracker, and he's played it so much now that he is now playing through the levels on his own. And it's a game that's really about puzzle solving, because you just have the level layout, and you have to make your way to the star on the level. And so through that, you have to manipulate the character, fight through Shy Guys and other enemies, and you make your way to the star in this diorama like level. And so you have to really, like, figure out how to manipulate things and work your way to it. And so he's been, when we first started playing the game, he would kind of tag along. He would take out an enemy, but he would always have us kind of do the stuff for him, and he would make his way to the star alongside us. And then, you know, of course, he had to get the star every time. If you got it before him, it was a
Damn
problem. And
right.
when he plays with Naomi, it's a fight every time, because she wants the star, he wants the star. So it's like it's a race at the very end. But neither one, like, you know, she doesn't really know how to play the game, so he usually gets it before her, and so she gets upset. But anyways,
That's an issue.
And so yeah, he but now I've been watching him, and he just plays through the level on his own, like, knows exactly what to do. So he's kind of memorizing all the different nooks and crannies and what needs to be manipulated and in what order, and he just does it all to perfection. It's pretty dope. So he's been loving Toad Treasure Tracker. Occasionally he's squeezing in some Super Mario Wonder, but yeah, Toad Treasure Tracker, that's like his game right now. And yeah, it's awesome. Just playing with Marissa, playing with the kids, enjoying life, just gaming. You know how it is, a dub.
Yes,
But
it's the greatest.
it's the best. But let's take a break, because we have so many topics, and there's so many big topics that I want to give them their time. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back with our first topic of the week.
Topic of the
Of the
week.
week. We are back, a dub. You want to lead us off with the first topic of the week?
Topic of the week.
Week.
The last week was pretty eventful, AMC. We had not one, but two major events, of course. One of them containing many smaller subjects within the other one containing a lot of details pertaining as to one larger subject. I'm going to go to the one that had the smaller topics within because I'm talking about PlayStation February 2025 State of Play, play,
Play,
play,
play.
play. Yes. So Sony had a presentation, came out of nowhere. And it came bearing fruit. There was a lot of things to talk about. So I'll try to
So
hit the
much.
highlight. Yes, so big and small for people who like stuff we already have and people who are looking forward to the things yet to come. So show let off. They're showing off Shinobi AFC. So Shinobi is in, it's in a similar vein as that Ninja Gaiden Ragebound that they demonstrated. I believe it might have been Microsoft. It was some gaming showcase. It was a
Was that
while
the Game
ago.
Awards?
Game Awards, there we go. But it looks like Sega's doing Shinobi in a similar style, and not just that, but I mean the artwork is outstanding, but it also looks like it might be a bit of a Metroidvania because I'm looking at the clip and the characters using like weapons and items in order to help them navigate the world. Now, I'm not entirely sure if that means that they're going to be opening up more of the world and being able to access places that they previously weren't able to as a result of getting new weapons and items. However, what they did show looks like it at least has that Metroidvania type element of, all right, I got this. Now I can interact with this, which means I can do this. It's very bloody. Beautifully animated,
Yeah, in
gory.
the IGN write-up, it says while it isn't a Metroidvania, you will unlock abilities that will help you find hidden paths. So I guess there'll be hidden paths along as you're pushing through the game, but you won't be backtracking necessarily.
I can totally live with that. Hey, just open up the gameplay. Let me do interesting and creative things, traversing the environment. It's all good. It doesn't have to be exactly something. So it's nice to get yet another ninja game coming. So many ninja games, so many samurai games, but AMC, What caught your eye at the state of play? Or did you want to talk about Shinobi? Sorry about that. I was on a
No,
roll,
you hit it well.
man.
Like everything that I was gonna say, you would have said. The other game I would say that caught my eye, that would be Split Fiction, coming our way. That will be coming soon, actually. That will be on March 6th, so only about le a less than month a month away from launch. Yeah, this is a co-op style of game. If you liked It Takes Two and some of the games before that, you might like this one. Characters look like Tron, like they're straight out of Tron. You got the red and the blue, and yeah, there's a lot of looks like character development alongside a lot of great gameplay and from a co-op perspective. And when I played It Takes Two, I remember that game kind of caught me off guard, only in that I had written it off. Like, not written it off, but I saw it and I just moved on with my life. And then it showed up at the Game Awards and it won at the Game Awards. And I was like, wait a second, what's going on with this game? And I saw like all the scores that it, like all the high scores that it received. And I was like, really, for a co-op game, huh? Okay. And then I asked Marissa, I was like, hey, you want to try out this game? And she's like, sure. We played through it. And it ends up being one of the greater experiences that I missed out on for that year as far as, Game of the Year votes, but one of those ones that I was so happy that I didn't miss out on entirely is from just playing a bunch of different style of games. And so getting on there, playing with Marissa, seeing the story that's really about divorce and having kid like and dealing with that with kids and understanding each person's viewpoint. And it shows up in the co-op play, and there's a lot of dialogue between the characters, but you're also being forced to work together. So it's one of those things where it's almost like a not like a buddy cop thing, but an odd couple situation where it's these two people that it's already been established that they're not getting along, but through the gameplay and through having to work together as a team, you're kind of working out your differences, and it shows up within the story of the game. And it was great just from playing just one play as a great co-op experience, but also playing it with a spouse because you're kind of seeing how these people work out their relationship issues while playing a video game. And so it's, a different way to expose each other to something like that together without it having to be, so serious and I guess hand-holdy through watching like a TV show necessarily, as opposed to like playing a video game and then just kind of getting it passively through the story. And so I really appreciated that experience. And this one looks like it's two characters. They were very much kind of going back and forth at times, but then you also see them like hugging each other, showing emotion, things like that.
No. Oh,
So there's
no.
yeah, so there's gonna be a lot of there's gonna be a lot of character development between these women. But yeah,
The
but yeah, just when I saw the gameplay already looked great as it was, and then seeing that it looks like it's gonna have an interesting story in a sci-fi setting, I am very interested. So I will show Marissa that trailer, gauge her interest, and that might be a game that we will be playing in a month's time if we're done with Stardew Valley. Ada, what'd you think about this game? Or you want to just move on to that next topic? Or not next topic, but next thing that caught your eye?
Well, personally, I'm lukewarm on it. Like, I wouldn't go into that just on my own. However, he's single, been playing It Takes Two with his lady, so getting his girlfriend game on, and he continues to bring up Split Fiction as a game that he wants to play with me, and it's difficult to be able to turn down that request because the makers of the game have that. I guess it's like an online ticket or something where if you own a copy of the game, someone who doesn't own a copy of it can play it with you in co-op. So I don't have any excuses. I'm gonna give it a try. I'm sure I'll enjoy the sci-fi section. It's not really a fantasy guy, so the fantasy sections might not appeal to me, but hey, get to play a game with my brother. That's worth the investment. So I'll see. I'll report on it once I have some time in it. I'm sure it's going to be a great game. Just not something that would immediately grab me on my own. However, gaming isn't just about that solo experience. Sometimes you got to get the homies involved. Sometimes you got to get the fam involved, get the loved ones. Gaming is for everybody. So you got to open up your comfort zone, let other people in, allow for new experiences. But yeah, so The next thing I saw, actually, when I saw it, it was like, oh, this is something AMC might more than likely be into. We got Dave the Diver getting new content in the form of Yakuza crossing over with the world of Dave the Diver. So that's right. You're going to be seeing your man Ichiban hooking up with Dave. They're going to be going on missions. You're going to have new kinds of content. Like there's a 2D side scrolling kind of brawler element to it that's going to be happening. Ichiban throwing people off of boats, no shirting, having a good time. Let me see what the write-up says. Yakuza, Like a Dragon's Kasuga Ichiban will be joining Dave the Diver in April as part of Dave the Diver Ichiban's Holiday DLC. There will also be mini games like karaoke and a way to recruit familiar faces from the Like a Dragon series to join your restaurant staff. And speaking of restaurant staff, your boy Boncho is going to be learning recipes. And it looks like they're just doing that Dave the Dive thing they do with the crossovers, where whatever they put in seems to touch every aspect of the game in order to flesh the experience out, add a bit more for players to do and engage with while doing that same loop. But it's a little different now. It's got a little more to it. AMC, are you going to be getting down on this content in April? And is this going to get you in to Like a Dragon, the Yakuza?
It won't get me into Yakuza, but it's a cool crossover. It makes total sense with, the tone of Dave the Diver, and it's just fun, just like off the top, like comedy, like just more slapstickish, and that falls in line with what Yakuza has going on. So it'll be fun to see those two things come together in the world of Dave the Diver. And it'll be fun to also just see those characters from Yakuza in a retro style of game, just to see that show up. I love the whole beat 'em up section. It'll be fun to play. It'll be interesting to see if they're charging for this, because they didn't charge for, what was it, the Godzilla and the other content
Godzilla.
update. But so we'll see if this one is also free. If not, if they're charging, to see what they put on that. But they've done some updates since I've last played, and so this will be another thing to come back to. So I'm kind of enjoying that I'm building up a ton of content, so that then I can come back and just have a bunch to go through, as opposed to hop on, play about like a week's worth to like jump through all that con jump through some a piece of content. I can have a bunch that might last me like a month or so. So I'm gonna let it build up, but I like what they're doing here, and I'm curious, because we also know that what we got the Dave the Diver jungle thing coming. I don't know if that's an expansion or if that's its own game.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, so they got a lot going on with Dave the Diver, so I'll let this keep building up, and then next thing you know, it'll be like a second game that I'm jumping into. Let's see, the next thing that caught my eye, I'm gonna pull this up just because when I saw it was that Squid Game, that octopus game.
Yes.
This being Darwin's Paradox. Oh, it follows an octopus who finds himself in a food factory. So here is the write-up from IGN.
About to be some teriyaki.
Yeah, the action
About to be some
adventure
Sukabona.
story-based platformer Darwin's Paradox is aiming to let players truly understand what it feels like to be an octopus. Darwin can climb, camouflage himself, shoot that ink, with the added benefit of feeling the actions come to life on that DualSense. I guess the DualSense is a big thing with this game. But yeah, it looks like a
Haptics, baby.
platformer. What were you saying?
Haptics, baby.
Yeah, but it looked like it was a fun game. You're a squid. It reminds me of Finding Nemo. There's a part in it where he's in an not like an aquarium, but like one of those big ones. And
Like the
the
Red
public
Lobster Aquarium?
no, like the public ones. What are those called?
Okay.
Like the aquatic center. I don't know what they're called, like the actual
Just an
term.
aquarium, I guess.
And so there's an octopus in there as Nemo ends up at the aquarium, and he makes his like basically like he learns that that octopus like can get out of his out of his cage or whatever they have him in his aquarium. Every he gets out and he can like sneak around. He'll do the whole camouflage thing, and that's and he helps get Nemo out of the aquarium. And so it just reminds me of that part of the show, but just making or of that part of the movie, making a game out of it, and knowing that you can camouflage, shoot ink, and make your way through it. It even had like vibes of like Inside as far as like, you know, some of the shots that it had going on. So I like that. It's like very much like a platformer with a tale to tell that won't necessarily have, at least what it looked like, a ton of dialogue, but you'll get it. You'll get the story through the settings. As was that the one where they said like you're like aliens are taking over the world or some shit like
In
that?
Darwin's Paradox?
Like, yeah. I'm
I
trying to
don't
think
think
there.
so.
Yeah, there is a game. I have to look at the trailer again, but they show one part where the character's like walking by a bunch of like people who look like ninjas, and they're doing like kung fu. But yeah, the game looked interesting, and I love a good platformer, so I'm looking forward to this game coming out and seeing the reaction to it. Do you have anything this on this AW? You want to keep it moving to
You
that
definitely
next
hit it on
scene?
the head with the Inside Limbo reference. That's immediately the vibe I got. It's doing that 3D but side scrolling type of thing, and it's like there's so much animation and things going on in the background that also, you know, while providing that ambiance and atmosphere, also set up the puzzles and the traversal challenges that you have to go through. I mean, it's an octopus, so you got those suckers, and he could stick the surfaces and kind of like walk underneath stuff, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Oh yeah, it
The
is. It's
cat,
like it is. I think aliens are taking over like the world.
while he's in a food factory.
Apparently, he makes his way out of it at some point.
It's like Inside and Limbo, but
Yeah,
octopus.
I would say
Yeah,
the
it's very interesting. I like the look of it, and you can't go wrong with an Inside slash Limbo style game. So I'm looking forward to this hopefully sticking the landing. Maybe after I finish Inside, and you know, if I do something like get Somerville or something, maybe I'll add Darwin's Paradox to the stack. What were you saying, AMC?
Yeah, that was a notable thing is published by Konami, a publisher that people had assumed that had given up on gaming. We're seeing them coming back with another game that was shown during the showcase. But yeah, Konami just slowly inching its way back into the gaming space. So that is a good sign. Maybe this game does well. We might get a new Castlevania down the line. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the recipe is right there, man. They put out this stuff to get an idea of how people feel about them, how people feel about their properties. If you want certain things from these companies, then you're gonna have to support the things that they're putting out. It's part of the system. Gotta signal demand. And speaking of signaling demand, I will continue to shoot my flare, to raise my flag, to scream from the mountaintops the goodness and the greatness of the Borderlands franchise. And I will continue that battle cry now that we have a release date from Randy Pitchford himself. Yes, we're going to be seeing Borderlands 4 in September 23rd. Third, third.
Third.
Interesting side story. Like, I looked at the release dates for the Borderlands games, and I just looked at the numbered ones, 1, 2, and 3. They all came out, like the first one came out in October, the other two came out in September. Some dude was on Reddit, like, I had a dream that's gonna come out June 25th. And I was like, I will buy your copy if a release date is announced for any time before September. And sure enough, boom, September. So I'm not buying nobody's shit. And that's how I do threads. But yeah, man, very excited for this. And they also treated us to a new gameplay trailer where we got to see a lot more action, a lot more weapons, a lot more ways to engage the challenges that Borderlands offers. Like, the big thing that I notice is you now have that grappling hook that your man Typhon de Leon had during Borderlands 3. So that's going to let you hook on the objects that are up in the air, swing over enemies, aim down at them, shoot at them in the process. And oh man, it looks like you might have at least some degree of melee weapons. There's at least one Vault Hunter who has the ability to summon like dual axes, so melee weapons and dual wielding. And he's throwing them, he's swinging them. I don't know. There's something in the air. Like people, oh my goodness, just the gore is on a whole nother level. Like brains are popping out and like meat is coming off of skeletons. It's just absolutely delightful. Somehow it looks more realistic and even more stylized. Like it has kind of a darker grittiness to it that's really just bringing the whole look together. I mean, and outside of all that, it's still Borderlands, baby. It's still gonna be just hitting you with the laughs. It's still gonna be hitting you with all the wild and crazy guns, all the new stuff, all the new animations, new rarity tiers, it looks like. And I can't wait. So many new build opportunities. Gonna have East Single on there. Probably gonna have this on me. Probably gonna have the AMC. Oh man. Speaking of, sir, how are you feeling about, the not too distant, but still so far away release of Borderlands 4?
Yeah, I can't wait for that state of play where they're gonna do the deep dive to really see,
Oh
because
boy.
this game is, I mean, I'm pretty much already in based on what I've seen of the gameplay, but really what gets you going is the classes and the different abilities that the classes will have once we see all that, because the guns are, they're gonna have a ton of different style of guns, so that's one of those things where you just kind of enjoy the variety, but it'll be the character once you're kind of start doing that planning, like when you see a Diablo trailer for the first time and you're like, all right, so probably playing with this class. Like when I play the first time, I want that for Borderlands 4. I want them to show all the classes, all their abilities, and then once I get that, then I'll start like really envisioning myself playing the game, because then I'll have a better idea. The picture will be a little bit clearer with how I'm playing the game. And so that's what I'm really looking forward to. But once again, another showcase of the game that looked really good. It's nice to see your boy Randy Pitchford and the other Randy there, the Randys. And they have when people complained in the past about how awkward and how just uncharismatic these developers are when they come out to showcase their game, Randy Pitchford does bring a bit of showmanship to it, whether you like it or not. Ugh. And yeah, he I
Emphasis
thought,
on not.
yeah, where's the magic? Why don't you do a trick for me? Ugh.
Dance.
Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, it was great. I thought it was presented really well, and the fact that they said really like look forward to this showcase down the line, and that we'll really do the deep dive. I think they seem to have partnered up with Sony to showcase this game, and so yeah, it'll be an awesome way to see what they have to offer, and I'm sure that means that you'll be getting all the PS5 Pro enhancements at launch. But that's all I got there, A-Dub. You have anything else to say about Borderlands, or we keep it moving?
Need that smooth 60 frames on launch. Don't play with me, Gearbox. Don't make me wait until next gen or until I get this power PC. And like playing through Borderlands 3 at this point, like really digging into it, you start to notice all the little things about the game that people take for granted or don't give credit. And it's like this next game is probably going to give us new vehicles, different vehicles, probably improve vehicle combat, like is all that stuff like that, like maybe different vending machines. There's all kinds of talk and speculation about it having melee weapons and having new and different effects. And there's talk about carrying like two-handed heavy weapons. And man, there's a lot going on. There's speculation about the siren and like is she a real siren or is she an artificial siren? And I'm like, okay, Borderlands is the fans never left. All that talk on the internet, the fans are still there. So that made my heart smile. And what else will make me smile is if AMC lets me know what's the next thing that caught his eye at the State of Play for February 2025.
We got to see a little bit of gameplay for Onimusha, Way of the Sword, which
Yes.
also introduced us to the protagonist of the game. So this is from IGN. Capcom is showing off new gameplay of its upcoming 2026 action game, Onimusha, Way of the Sword. More than that, we finally know who's leading the next Onimusha, and it's none other than the historic swordsman and coward Miyamoto Musashi. Let's see, in a new trailer that premiered at the PlayStation State of Play, Capcom offered a new glimpse at the gameplay of the upcoming Onimusha Way of the Sword. Let's see. We saw a little bit of the sword play. We got to see some of the big enemies. I'm not reading any more of this shit. Yeah, so what I'll say is seeing that, just one, seeing the character, just seeing it was Miyamoto Musashi. I have a soft spot in my heart for Miyamoto Musashi. It was like the book that got me back into reading was Musashi. It was written like, who knows how long ago? I believe it was like in the 19 teens, but and it was I believe when I was reading about it, it was written in like, you know, like one of those, like it was written in the newspaper in Japan. Like he would add like a chapter or so in like with each update, and then almost like a manga, and then eventually like they collected it all into a novel. And so I read that, and it was an absolutely amazing novel. That's how I learned about was it Kojiro and all that, and Musashi and all those characters. And yeah, that, so ever since then, I've kind of had a soft spot. Even when I went to Japan, I had to go to the museum where they had, as they said, one of Musashi's sword. Who knows if it was authentic, but they had the sword, and I looked at it and I was like, hell yeah. it was a samurai museum. And yeah, so it's definitely been like a big part of my life. And seeing that, I will be able to play a game with him as a protagonist. And the fact that they also stayed true to, you know, what's been, I don't know if it's because he's such an old character, but mythologized or historically told about Musashi as far as his fighting style, and the fact that he didn't, there wasn't, honor wasn't a thing for Musashi when it came to battle. It was just about getting better and being the best. And so if he knew he was going to lose a fight, he would bow out and get the fuck out of there, come back stronger the next day. He was the embodiment of get good. Like, didn't complain. He was like, all right, I can't beat this guy. I'm gonna work on myself a little bit, come back, and I'll get him in a later fight. And he also fought with two swords, which was a little bit different from the time, as opposed to, you know, getting that one sword and putting all your power into it. He had the double swords. So there's a lot of things that were just unconventional about Musashi, and they really showcased that in the trailer. I really enjoyed seeing some of the stuff they were doing in the combat, like with the pairing system that they have going on. I want to see more of it, but he was straight up like just deflecting shots and getting counters off of it in a smooth style of gameplay as you're fighting multiple enemies. And you saw the signature collecting of the souls after you beat the demons of whatever. And it seems like it has a lot going for it. And I'm liking that they're going with this character. It's absolutely awesome. What did you think of this showcase of Onimusha Way of the Sword? I don't have it pulled up, but yeah, it looks like I remember that was the name. Was that the name? I think it was the name. Yeah. Onimusha Way of the Sword.
Yeah.
I wanted to call it Way of the Samurai, but Way of the Sword. A-Dub, what did you think of the game?
I mean, it may as well be Way of the Samurai because it's, like, they're doing this game on the RE engine. So just think all the Resident Evil remakes and all the other games that have just made excellent use of that technology. And it's Onimusha still, but this time, like, it's that, man, I haven't played Onimusha since like PS2, I want to say. And just seeing it in that full 3D, moving that smooth, having actual sword clashing and, you know, moves that are more like slower, more realistic. And you're really fighting these creatures. But not only that, you are really cutting them. So it looks like it might just be the finishing moves. But when Musashi makes his final swipes, his final slashes on these enemies, like, he's just cutting them in half any way you can imagine, like down your shoulder, like across your torso to your hip, like it's, any way you could be cut apart, he's doing that. As someone who's a fan of dismemberment and gore in my games, as you can tell by how I was gushing, no pun intended, over Borderlands 4 and its improvements, like that's my thing. And yeah, it looks like it's a proper modernization of the Onimusha combat style. Like, it's a nice happy medium between what you would want to do with a Sekiro while still keeping it uniquely Onimusha. And yeah, man, I can't help but be excited for this, especially knowing the protagonist is Musashi, because I've had two encounters with this man that have earned my respect. One, I believe it was a PS2, maybe PS3 game by the name of Brave Fencer Musashi. I almost 100% of that game, like in one run. It was just that enjoyable, that fun. It's definitely goofy and kiddie with its graphics and things. It's like an
I was even more serious.
it, oh man, yeah. But I enjoyed the hell out of that game. And then later on, when I got into reading Warrior Philosophy, the Book of Five Rings, like that will always be a solid portion of my foundation of just how I engage the world and consider, combat from, watching MMA fights to practicing in the gym to playing video games. Like just my means of engaging, my whole thought process, like the Hagakure, the Book of Five Rings, the Art of War, like that's what rounds out my approach to combat. So that's why I'm real big on realistic combat systems and sword clashing. Been wanting sword clashing in games for so long, and just about every samurai game, every ninja game is bringing some form of actual sword clashing ever since Sekiro, Ghost of Tsushima, and even the Star Wars Jedi franchise. So yeah, to get one more, to get Onimusha back is, I don't even know what to say, man. Just give it to me. Like, too bad it's coming in 2026, but you can bet your ass I'm there day one for Onimusha in 2026. But let me see. So let me see what caught my eye here. Well, we got a little more information for a game that I've been keeping track of for quite some time. That game is Hell Is Us. See if I can find it. We got a new look at it. Got to see some new characters. Got to see a bit more of the world and exploration. The write-up says that Hell Is Us, the upcoming third-person post-apocalyptic sci-fi action adventure game, releases September 4th. So already that's kind of putting me in a tight spot for September, because we got Borderlands on the 23rd. Now we got Hell Is Us on the 4th. I got a little over 2 weeks, try to get through Hell Is Us or get the most out of it before I'm going to be joined at the hip Borderlands 4 playing co-op with my brother in the AMC. So we'll see what's going on. But I love the overall aesthetic of Hell Is Us. Like it looks like kind of a sci-fi kind of Souls-like, but not in the vein of the Surge where you got the exosuits and all that, but in the vein of, it's kind of like the Division meets Dark Souls. And that is an idea that I am absolutely showing up for. I continue to be impressed by whatever they show with the gameplay. And now, just gotta wait a few months. AMC, you're gonna be getting into Hell Is Us.
Need to see a little bit more. It looks cool, but not one of the games I necessarily am going to jump right into. Maybe when they show a little bit more of like what's going on with that drone, some of the other stuff, maybe that will pull me in. But there are so many, I'm looking at it from the perspective there are so many games this year that I'm not sure if that one's gonna just fit into one of my most anticipated games. And so but game looks good. It might be one of those games I get into later in the year if I get through some of the games I want to play before a game of the year pops up. Or it's just one of those ones that if I overwhelmingly just hear that this game has to be played, then I'll shift things around. But looks cool, but not necessarily at the top of my anticipated games from this showcase.
Well, I'll be sure to tell you all about it.
Yeah, definitely. You know what? Let's take a break and we can hit one or two of these, and then we got a big topic that we still need to get to. So let's take a
Yes.
quick break, A-Dub, and we'll be right back. All right, we are back, A-Dub. Still got the state of play going. I felt like we had to hit one more game at least before we get out of here, because I know it's a game that near and dear to your heart as far as the developer behind it. So I'll let you do a lot of the talking, but
That lineage.
yeah, we got to see are we calling it Soros?
Yes.
Not like George Soros.
No. Well, who knows? I don't
We don't know whose money's behind this game. Let's see. Soros
Exactly.
is house. Soros
Oh my
is house.
God. Sorry.
Is Housemarque's next game after Returnal. Let's see. Soros is Housemarque's next game after Returnal, and it's set to arrive on PS5 in 2026. 2026 just lining up, A dub.
Onimusha as Soros.
Yep. And while it looks a lot like Returnal, it looks to be a new game set on the planet of Carcosa that is under the threat of an ominous eclipse. Interesting. Players will take on the role of Arjun Davraj. Let's see. Is that
Sounds
just a
good.
dude? It's a dude. He is a powerful Sol'tari. Actually, I don't want to assume. He is a powerful Sol'tari enforcer searching for answers on a lost off-world colony. Ugh. There will be permanent progression systems, and every death reshapes the world while offering new upgrades to overcome challenges. Interesting, A-Dub. Getting a maybe. Maybe we're getting a little bit of damn it, what the hell is that game?
Eternal.
What's up?
Returnal.
Not Returnal,
Oh.
the one where you're playing as the Kung Fu dude and it's a
Oh,
roguelike.
Sifu.
Yeah, see, only in that, like every death reshapes the world, but that one reshapes the character more. But should be interesting. What did you think about this game, A-Dub? Knowing your love of Returnal, your love of Housemarque, what'd you think about this game being debuted here?
Yeah, at first I was a little on edge because I didn't know what it was or who was making it. They just cold open with the trailer and went right to it. But then once it was Housemarque, it was like, okay, you're shooting. Those bullets looked like Returnal bullets. So okay, maybe they're taking things in a new direction. And then once they said like they've taken what they learned from Returnal and they're making this, I was like, oh, okay, we're good, we're back. So it's basically a spiritual successor to Returnal. I'm going to be all over that. I mean, we didn't see much. It was a cinematic trailer, but the character was carrying what looked like a double-barreled weapon that would change the orientation of the barrels from vertical to horizontal. Maybe that's just showing you that, alternate fire modes are coming back. They showed you the same bullet hell type patterns with the boss. It's a similar kind of alien, almost religious effigy kind of thing going on as Returnal. And yeah, man, I can't wait to see more. It's coming 2026, so I imagine that's going to be a long time. But Housemarque made one of the best games of all time. Definitely one of the best PS5 games. It's currently available with Returnal, so I don't doubt their direction. All I have is time, and they can take as much of it as necessary. I'm supporting this, totally down for Sorrows. Did you have anything else to add, or can I squeeze one more in? Just a quick one.
You squeeze one more in. I'll just say I hope that this game gets the fair shake that we didn't get to see from Returnal because of
Yeah.
a lot of the questions about like quality of life stuff, and then on top of that the character. So they don't have an old lady as a main character. If they said they've learned whatever from Returnal, maybe they'll implement some of those quality of life things that people complain about with the lynchal the initial launch version of Returnal. And yeah, we'll see that carry over, and this game will just hit the crowd in a way that should have hit Returnal should have hit when it dropped and eventually got to. But yeah, you can get what other game you got to do.
I imagine they're going to have the suspend state at launch and things like that, and probably even shorter levels to address that criticism. I just hope that they're going to have a woman character in there that I can choose. If it's just a dude, I'm cool, but it would be nice to have an option. Yeah, next game, last game I'm going to bring up, Metal Eden. So this is a game, to my surprise, that is from the makers of Ruiner, which is a game that I would really love to make it through if my save didn't crash at a critical boss fight. The write-up says Metal Eden is described as an adrenaline rush sci-fi FPS, and players will be able to find out exactly what that means when it releases on PS5 on May 6th. One of the most unique mechanics in Metal Eden is known as core ripping and allows players to use a multi-tool. It uses gravity beam to rip cores from enemies in your way. You can then throw these cores and create a nice little explosion. You can also choose to consume the core, which could improve your melee attacks, mobility, and survivability. So May 6th, not too far off, made from the people who did Ruiner. So like, I was already in love with the style. First person, that's typically rough, but I'm down with this developer. I know that whatever they make will be fun and frenetic. AMC, any feelings on Metal Eden?
Yeah, look cool. Kind of gave me Doom vibes as far as the pacing of the combat and like the showcasing of movement in the combat. And that's as far as I'll take it. Ruiner, when I've seen gameplay of yours, obviously different game, but had a cool look to it, had a cool pace to it, like the action. And so they carry that over to this, which seems to be a complete change as far as what this was first person, whereas Ruiner was third person. So it's a different look, a different approach, but looks like it still has the same approach as far as the, you know, the heavy combat and the quick violence. And so yeah, I'm interested to see how this game translates to the gaming community. But looks pretty good. That's all I got there. And
then you got the next topic of the week. Top topic of the week.
It is a big one, so we could both hit this together. Overwatch, we've been waiting. They had announced that they had a big some big announcements coming to Overwatch PvP, and that's pretty broad because Overwatch is a PvP game.
Yeah, so why the specificity?
Yeah, so we didn't know what was coming, but we knew that Overwatch Blizzard was bringing something, and you know, knowing with all the excitement and the engagement around Marvel Rivals and the doom and gloom surrounding the Overwatch community and the game's current state, and if Blizzard would be able to do what they need to do to, you know, survive this onslaught from Marvel Rivals. So this appears to be their reaction to Rivals, and this was a hell of a reaction because it wasn't, we're going to do what Marvel Rivals does. It's just, we're going to do everything. Like, we're just gonna, on stuff that you guys have been talking about, clearly it's stuff that they've been working on. And what I love about this is it shows Blizzard's approach to Overwatch, in that how they, you know, that they'll sprinkle in stuff in the events, they'll sprinkle in a mode here and there, something that's a little experimental, and we'll see it disappear. Even with 6v6, we saw them throw that into the season, into last season, so people could play it in a mode. And I remember you saying at the time, like, if you guys like 6v6, you need to play 6v6 because they're looking at all the data and they will take that into heart. And what I love is it's clearly not something that they just pivoted overnight. They had to have been working on this, because you don't just, for people who are so, for a developer that's so detailed and meticulous and precise with what they will do with their game, to try to always maintain the balance, whether the community thinks there is balance or not in the game. They wouldn't just overhaul their game like this unless it's something that they had been working on for a while. And so when it came, it was a major overhaul over a lot of systems. I don't even know if it's an overhaul as much as it is just a lot of additions that were added that's going to make it feel like an overall overhaul to the game of Overwatch 2. So I'll start with one. You can jump into another, or we can just discuss each one. I'm going to start off with perks, because that is a big one. So perks redefining gameplay, coming when season 15 launches on February 18th. So by the time a lot of you hear this, this might already be out. Is a significant,
you might already be mad.
Yeah, significant innovation to core gameplay of Overwatch perks. These heroic-specific bonuses level up gameplay, allowing you to customize your strategies like never before. You will be able to choose from different upgrades to your hero's kit, creating new options to either cement your team's victory or to turn the tide away from a potential defeat. Throughout the match, you'll level up your hero two times. The first level up is a choice between two minor perks that are lighter upgrades, such as small passes or cooldown reductions. For example, Toborn will have the choice between the Forge Hammer, restoring armor health to your teammates, or refilling Rivet Gun's ammo when activating Overload. Major perks are gameplay shifting changes, redefining what your hero is capable of. Toborn will be able to choose from anchoring your turret to walls and the ceiling, and are more powerful level 3 turrets. So kind of similar to the previous Toborn, was it Ultimate, where you could level up your turret and it just became like a tank on the field.
Yeah,
Both
it was
options give you
terrible.
Yeah, give you new strategies to dominate the match. Overwatch 2 Spotlight showcases even more examples of how perks will be able to change your very core of how you approach Overwatch 2 when they become available in both competitive and quick play starting in season 15. More details to come. A dub. What do you think of this perk system that they're announcing? Or do you want to just keep it moving? But yeah, what do you think of this perk system?
I'll try to hit them with just like a brief thought,
Yeah.
and you know, just perk system. It's an excellent resolution to it's an excellent resolution instead of making new skills and adding new buttons and new interactions. You just give people these modifiers that they can choose between in order to enhance their character the way they see fit. I also support the idea that this will combat the rapid counterpicking that goes on like later on in a match. In the beginning, you could get away with it, but once you start getting a character or two with some perks on them, you'll be less inclined to switch to a counter, you know, especially if you think that you're good enough with that extra power to make up the difference. So I'm looking forward to the new layer of strategy that perks are gonna add.
Do you want me to keep it going, or do you want
Yeah,
to
keep it
take
rolling,
one?
baby.
All right, let's see. We got Stadium A Dub, the ultimate battleground. So this is
Yes.
launching in season 16, so not this season, but in season the next season that will be coming in April. Stadium is the biggest game mode we've ever made. In fact, this is more than just a game mode. It's an entirely new way to experience Overwatch. Watch. In Stadium's best of seven system, you'll earn in-game Stadium coins each round to unlock and customize abilities for your heroes. These powerful upgrades will be able to alter your survivability and damage while even completely revamping your hero's abilities. Stadium is packed with transformative powers and strategic encounters that enhance the hero fantasy beyond anything we've released, focused on letting you play how you want. Finally, A-Dub, they're letting us do what we
Yes.
want, all we've ever asked.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm not going to go into the specifics of each individual character. Beyond amazing new abilities that come together in the Ultimate Hero Build, Stadium also includes the option to choose how to play in first person or A dub, third person, person, person. In third person, you'll be able to see more of the battlefield and the direct impact your upgraded abilities have in action, such as the lava, yada yada yada. That's all I'm going to read from there, A-Dub. There's a lot more, but there's so much to cover. What do you think about this stadium stuff, or anything else that I might not have covered that they're going to be implementing in this game mode?
One thing you didn't cover that I think is very important to note is that Stadium is going to be working on a best of seven system. So that's something else that's very interesting to me. Like I'm a fan of the best two out of three. Like that's cool, but at times I think it's a little short, and I feel like a lot of matches in Overwatch get decided because one team gasses out before the other team. So I imagine a best of seven system could really punctuate like who's really bringing it and just has that mental fortitude and that stamina. But yeah, man, with Stadium, it's awesome. I'm definitely going to be making use of that third person. It's very interesting that we're going to be able to purchase powers and upgrade our character over the course of a seven game series. So that just takes perks from the main game to like the nth degree, as you're just buying up these abilities that completely trick out your character, and you can see the modifiers and see how everything's working. I'm very excited. This was aimed directly at me, and they struck true.
Let's see, we have a new character coming, A-Dub. Welcome. Is it Freya or Freya?
Yeah, Freya.
Freya, the newest addition to the Overwatch 2 roster, a former search and rescue operative turned bounty hunter. This is the way. Freya
Yes, a
brings
pretty normal career path.
Freya brings a new dynamic to the game with her explosive crossbow and unique abilities. You'd expect a challenging and rewarding experience as she requires precision and steady aim to master. You see, you unload a flurry of rapid fire bolts with her rev draw crossbow.
Crossbro.
She don't want that, bro. Let's
Skull and
see.
crossbros.
Slow down with take aim to line up the perfect shot and fire a high speed explosive bolt that turns targets into fireworks. There's also quick dash in any direction to reload your explosive bolt and leave your enemies in the dust. Launch yourself sky high with an updraft of wind, catch those rooftop campers and get a bird's eye view before you strike. And finally, you can snag an enemy with your explosive bullet shot, which you know about them bolos, wrap them up and pull in their unlucky teammates with an ultimate combo play. See, Freya will be coming in Overwatch 2 in season 16, but you'll get a taste of her kit in a free trial weekend during season 15. And they gave us a glimpse of another hero coming, that being Aqua, a Chinese hero wielding a water-based ability that can manipulate the battlefield with an innovative play style. We'll reveal more about Aqua with his release in season 18. So we got a little bit until we see Aqua, but it looks pretty cool. Got a water-based attack. Hoping that it is a support character. What'd you think of Freya, A-Dub?
Freya looks dope, man. I'm liking that mobility. That Bola is exactly what the game needs in order to lock down a Tracer, lock down a Sombra, lock down any mobility characters. Just stop them dead in their tracks. Let them get shot up, blow them up, get them off the map. Don't need to waste a hero ban for it. In fact, I challenge all Freya players, future Freya players, myself included, at the beginning of the match, just let people know I'm playing Freya. Don't worry about banning Tracer or Sombra. I'll lock them up. That's all I want to hear every match. And then we could be more strategic with our picks. But yeah, Freya looks dope. Looking forward to playing her. Given her abilities, I probably see her as a DPS. Don't really see her as a support. They didn't say anything about healing or anything, so. Seems like she's gonna be dishing out damage. Looking forward to testing that out. And Aqua looks dope, so I'm looking forward. I also like that they have an ice and water kind of motif going with these characters. I'd like to see Overwatch lean more into like power kind of powers, the way that Aqua has that water going on. And you know, there are other characters that have power type powers, but I want to see more of that stuff.
Season 15 is a new competitive year. Season 15 launches on February 18th, and with it, the start of the new 2025 competitive season. This season will feature a rank reset. Maybe you like it if you didn't have a good rank, and new competitive galactic weapons designed to give players the power of the stars, competitive rank weapon charms, and new player portraits, all allowing you to display your greatness outside the
Yes,
matches. I added that.
yes.
Let's see. Season 15 kicks off. You will also be able to take part in, oh, finally, A-Dub should have been there at launch, 6v6 competitive queue, as well as Overwatch Classic GOATS, one of the most notorious and memorable periods from Overwatch's history. Top of that, A-Dub, season 15 also features the return of loot boxes, 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 so many boxes.
This was the highest point for me.
You will be able to earn a variety of cosmetics when collecting loot boxes. They will be available from weekly to event rewards, as well as earning one legendary loot box in the free battle pass. You know about that free battle pass loot box. And an additional two legendary loot boxes of the premium pay to win pass. When opening loot boxes, we want to be transparent in your chances so that it doesn't feel like gambling, and getting various types of cosmetics in addition to the below drop rates to make sure that you don't feel like it's gambling. To ensure you will always have a chance to receive some truly great items, we are guaranteeing that a rare item or better items will drop in every single loot box, so you're not bitching. with an epic item within 5 consecutive loot boxes and a legendary item
Oh,
within
wow.
20 consecutive loot boxes. So there's a guarantee if you get a couple loot boxes that you'll get
There
some
you
loot,
go.
apparently.
And now somebody's going to math it out and, like, oh, it's going to take 488 hours to unlock everything. This is a scam.
So, real quick, what are your thoughts of the return of loot boxes?
I wish they never went away in the first place because that's just a lot of content that could have been earned along the way to where we are now. But they're coming back, and we're getting back to an ecosystem where people are being rewarded more frequently and more handsomely for the time and energy that they invest in the game. And what a lot of people overlook when it comes to loot boxes is that they have to have something in them. So that puts more pressure on the developer to continue to create more cosmetics and perhaps put cosmetics that may come at a premium within the loot box, promotions, engagement, all that stuff, sales, and just like, hey, we're putting this stuff in there. Oh, we got this event. Oh, here are some boxes. Oh, you played all week. Here are some boxes. There's so many opportunities for you to get all the stuff that you want without feeling like you have to pay for it. So, let's have open minds and give loot boxes a chance this time and just see how it honestly affects the situation rather than all the fear that we conjure in our minds.
On top of that, I also mentioned the weapon charms that you get from the competitive rank and the galactic weapons. What do you think about that?
I'm gonna be loving the kill cams when people see that platinum dangling. It's like, oh, you're a grandmaster. Oh, you're this, you're that. Well, I'm beating you. So
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot harder to smurf when you got that grandmaster hanging from your weapon.
and it's gonna be a lot less trash talked when people who necessarily aren't within the same ranks. Let's see how those matchups go. Let's see who's coming out on top, and let's see what it means to be in a particular category in this game.
Let's see, as you had mentioned, so beyond season 15, after season 15, various new systems will be introduced further to improve everyone's experience in Overwatch 2. In season 16, we will implement hero bans in competitive. Later this year, there will also be a new map voting system to allow you a voice in where your matches take place, giving you the agency in determining where your team battles for victory, victory, victory. Hero bans target strong and frustrating heroes. Frustrating OP. Why don't you just bounce it? While map voting lets players choose their preferred maps, adding a new layer of strategy to the game. These are just a few of many systems being worked on, and we can't wait to share more details with you soon. Ada, what do you think about hero bans and map voting?
Another tidbit was that apparently these are both only in competitive. So I think that's going to make that the experience of playing competitive games a bit more rich, a bit more strategic, just layers on layers on layers of decision making and strategy. Like some teams play better on some maps, some characters play better on some maps. Some maps, let's see what happens with their reworks to figure out if they're kind of lopsided in their experience. But this is all great stuff. I'm glad the game is getting this. I look forward to engaging with all the systems that are
Yeah,
coming. This is crazy.
the last part is they're just going over the cosmetics as far as the mythics and all that stuff. So we don't need to get into that. But yeah, so
We should
overall,
check out a video for that if you want to see it, but it's definitely worth watching.
A dub, all these changes that we have coming in light of, everything that's been going on with Marvel Rivals and what that means with Marvel Rivals' success, what that means for Overwatch's future, and Blizzard's response to just everything, all the criticism from their own fans and from outside forces. What did you think of this offering that they have coming to Overwatch 2?
Well, I mean, you definitely can't slap together that many deals, that much content, like that kind of roadmap, which extends for the remainder of 2025. You're not slapping that together in 2 months. So we can quit with this idea that they just pulled all this out of a hat in response to Rivals.
This
Don't get me
crunch.
wrong. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like it's Rivals is definitely a factor. It may have moved up the timetable. Maybe they Maybe they showed you things earlier than they normally would, but at the same token, this isn't the first time they've done a multi-season reveal. Like back in the early days of Overwatch 2 and like the single digit seasons, they did the same thing where they had the roadmap after they canceled the PvE stuff. So it isn't unprecedented. And you guys say you like competition, but it seems to only be competition when the game you won is winning. But when Overwatch come out and talk about what it's doing, then y'all get crazy. But let me just run through Troll of the Week real quick. Troll of the Week. Troll of the Week. Troll of the Week. Week. Yeah, I'm not gonna hit you with too many. I'm gonna just give you some short ones.
So many pronouns making these games.
Oh, Jesus. Surprisingly, I didn't see anybody say anything about that. Maybe moderators got to those messages before. First person says, it's just Overwatch 1 with extra steps. Next one says, Marvel Rivals has got Blizzard over there tweaking.
Tweaking and turkin.
Tweaking and twerking. And I'll give you two more. One troll says, I hope Microsoft closes down Blizzard. And finally, loot boxes are BS. It'll never die. But I mean, there's more Overwatch content just in that reveal than we could possibly talk about without dedicating the whole show to it. They're on a roll. The game is getting to a marvelous place. The collabs are about to be over the top, especially with the stuff with the little glowing anime spirits that you get now. Tell me, Adobe ain't rocking at least one or two of those skins.
Oh,
Like,
he's
I'm
gonna
getting
see
that
the game.
Mercy. I'm getting that Juno. I'm getting that Mythic Widow Gun. Already got the Prism save. I mean, Overwatch is like, it's the idea that it's over for that game just because a competitor came out is totally absurd. And I feel bad for anybody who's on that train. Like, Overwatch has got a lot left in it before it's gonna start looking like it's falling out of fashion. However, I'll keep my comments brief. AMC, anything for these trolls?
If you weren't excited about this, it just means that all the complaints were disingenuous because they've literally addressed a lot of the complaints and then also added a ton of new stuff on top of that to people for people to enjoy. I think it's absolutely awesome. I love this whole perk system. It's definitely a breath of fresh air, and I always enjoy the idea that characters always they're similar, but at least like if somebody plays it, you might get a different style of play. But for the most part, they're always similar. And now adding a perk system means like, oh shit, like I thought I was going against this Lucio, but I'm going against that Lucio. Like, or this person, like there's just different things that tricks of the trade as far as things that you can do with certain characters. But now with this perk system, there's gonna be all different types of ways to one, not only take advantage of a certain perk, but also utilize specific perks for specific maps. Like one we were discussing in the pre-show was Lucio. One of his perks was going to be, from what I read, was he's going to have a bigger knockback. And I love utilizing that boop in general. But now knowing that there's going to be certain maps where I can really utilize that boop, it's going to be a problem, especially from how they laid out that perk system working. If it's like something that you progress through during the matches, then yeah, you won't want to see me in those later rounds if that's how it's working. If not, either way, it's definitely incentive to play through all the characters because now it's not just one, if they ban my character, oh, I can just hop onto this character, but oh, I gotta hop onto this character and hopefully I also know the perks to really take advantage of that character. So it's really gonna push people to have their mains, but have multiple mains because you can't just rely on one character if people decide to just take you out by cutting you at the knees or cutting you off at the knees. So now you have to really think about like just how you can attack certain maps. It adds like a whole new layer of strategy, which I think is great. I love the whole map voting thing. That was something that I thought was good in like fighting games. Always take advantage of map voting because the maps made a difference in certain games.
They
And
did
to
have map voting, huh?
yeah. And to see that now show up in a shooter, which makes even more sense because maps do make all the difference, as far as like certain characters, and they definitely some are more appealing and more advantageous for other for certain heroes. And knowing that, that's just another layer of advantage that you can try to squeeze out, eke out with your team as you're coming up with certain maps to choose from. And also counter. If you see that their advantages, the other team's advantages in certain areas, then trying to cut that off in the later matches to help amount that com help surmount that comeback. And so I love everything that they have going on here. They're looking at the game in a way that I think isn't just, surface level ways to appeal to gamers, like, oh, we're gonna make these boobs bigger, make these butts bounce so that all these people come back to play our games. So they're looking at the gameplay and they're
We
trying to
heard
prove it there.
you. We listened.
Yeah, exactly. So they're I think that they're I like that they're approaching it in their own way. We're gonna beat them with just undeniable gameplay, as opposed to we're just gonna do this aesthetic overhaul that just fixes some of the appeal from an appearance standpoint, as opposed from a gameplay standpoint. So it's great. Even though they did do some of the appearance stuff with the loot boxes, I love that that's back. So I am over the moon. I cannot wait. You will see me online on Tuesday, A Dub, and we will be definitely getting some sessions in throughout this
Yes,
week.
we will.
So it's going to be amazing. Do you have any final words, A Dub, about this, about these trolls? What you got?
Troll of the week,
Week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
week, week,
week,
week.
troll of the week.
Do you have any final words, Ada, before we get
Dude, like 2025 just surprisingly turned
out of
into a monster of a year out of nowhere. Like on top of all this, Stalker 2 just got its like 1.2.2 patch, which addressed all the major issues that I was staying away from the game for. So now I can get back into that. Gran Turismo 7's back, playing Outer Worlds, playing Citizen Sleeper, Diablo's killing it, Overwatch is about to transform. Like, and then we still have all those big Microsoft games coming, the big Sony games, the big third parties, GTA 6 still out there, Borderlands 4 coming. Like, no, man. Like, it's a great time, but it is overwhelming. I gotta
It's out
say
of
that.
control.
Like, I could stop gaming at the end of this year. Well, I could stop buying new games at the end of this year, and I would just be playing bangers for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you because that is all true. I just look at my backlog and it's already insane. And knowing that there's just so much more coming, man, it's. I'm gonna be playing a game as Musashi, A-Dub. Think about that. We're gonna be playing as
I'm super
Musashi
excited. I
in
am
an
super
Onimusha
excited.
game. Yeah, it is out of control.
The dream game, I forgot I
Yeah,
wanted.
exactly. Well, that was Control Issues. I am Jay MC.
And this is A-Dub. We are Control Issues.